March 12th in the kitchen in the morning and waiting for Adi to come over here, and we're going to be talking to him.
Certain miracle took place in the case of somebody, and he came and asked Baba, I experienced a miracle and you must have done it. Baba does not own it. He says, I have not done it. I never pay attention. Probably in that case, it was not the way this man is expressed, but this perfect master is expressed. Probably Baba spoke the truth because he didn't bother to perform such a small miracle at all. But still the miracle takes place, and the only reason is we can account for that there are powers, as they say, rolling at the feet of the perfect master, much more so at the feet of the avatar, and they go on doing their own work. He has not to bother about that. Now I will give you an instance. Supposing you are the friend of the President of India. Maybe you studied in the same school, come from the same state. You go out traveling, you go into a different state as a non-entity, you drive a car, meet with a small accident, come in lot of trouble. But you tell the man, look here, I am a friend of the President of United States. So in your respect, he takes everything so easy and sees, takes the first opportunity that you are released and you are not troubled much more. In like manner, there are many powers. And wherever the Baba lover is there, that powers comes and says, if somebody is going to give any trouble to that Baba lover, he is the friend of the avatar, he is the avatar lover, be careful.
But the angels maybe, something like that?
They may be angels, they may be any entities, you see, but these powers go and say, in order probably to come into the good books of the avatar, they say, they may go and tell the avatar, look here, I have been so kind and nice and I have helped your lover, won't you help me? It is like this, you see. This morning I was telling our friend Mr. Pascal, who happened to come there for an interview this morning, a lovely conversation. So this your point has gone out of my head. It will come back in its own time. The more I try to force it out, the more it goes inside.
If Baba is a living God and is running everything, and nothing happens without his will, then in a sense, everything is his gift. In another sense, everything...
Yes, know? In the final analysis. But yeah, that doesn't mean in every thing of a Tom, Dick and Harry, in every details he goes on poking his nose or he puts his mind into it. Not at all.
Because like there's a mechanism of the universe.
Yes, he has created the whole mechanism and set it running. If there is any serious trouble anywhere, then he wakes up and just looks at it. What the hell is going on over there? It must be all changed or corrected or rectified. Something. Otherwise it goes on. And there may be some people may be oppressive to others. There may be some trouble, small trouble. And if a Baba lover is involved there, he doesn't dare to go for a small thing to the avatar himself. And all other powers, they say that he is a Meher Baba lover, he is the man of the avatar. You should be careful, do not give him trouble, lest something very drastic may happen with you. Be careful, and the thing is done. And the man says, Baba has performed miracles. Baba says, I do not perform any miracle at all. They happen, I don't know. In short, although in the final analysis it is the he, because if he has set a machinery and in that machinery there is a man who helps in the name of the avatar, eventually avatar is said to have done it. You see, avatar is said to have done it. But he doesn't actually do it himself.
Does Baba have people on the fourth plane, agents who did work miracles?
Fourth plane is a very dangerous plane.
Yeah, but did Baba have agents?
If the... yes, maybe.
I believe he did.
In the living body.
In the body, yeah.
In the living body, there may be a man on the fourth plane, an agent.
You see, well, that agent could work miracles for Baba.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Without doing any harm.
But when a question is asked to Baba, Baba says that he does not own a miracle. And why, I tell you, you see, I have thought over it many a times that in the final analysis it is only Baba who does it. But why does he disown it? For the simple reason that this is not important. It may have been necessary for that occasion, and it was just done. But the fact that I do not put my mind into it is not really important. What is it, a Baba man comes into a trouble and loses his life in an accident? Maybe that was for his good. Probably Baba prepared him to have a better body for his own progress. But that incident, you see, becomes very, all around him, the relatives become very unhappy because the man died. You see, for the occasion it may be a thing, very sad. But for the eventual good, it is all right. So it is all a bundle of contradictions. Yes.
I was just thinking, even when he was Christ, when he did many miracles, there is a story of one time when the apostles came to him and said, there's a man somewhere who's casting out devils using your name. And, you know, like, what should we do? Should we stop him? And this sort of sounds like, you know, using his name and the power, but not him actually directly doing it. And even then, he cast it off something, you know, like, sort of, you know, like,
see, probably he meant to do that. He wanted it that way. You see, we do not know really. What is a life and what is a death, you see, to the avatar, it means nothing at all. It is just like a small ant. Do you rue or mourn over an ant being killed or crushed under your foot or a small insect? The human life is similar. From his point of view, not from our point of view. So, when in the Second World War, you see, Hitler killed so many men, do you know? I should not really say this, because one has to take this in the right perspective and should not misinterpret, and kindly do not note it down here. Cut this out. You see, intelligently we want to understand this mystery of life, that mystery of life, that mystery of spirituality. Baba says these are the secrets that cannot be revealed. Now how will somebody look upon a statement when a perfect master like Kabirji comes out and says, yesterday's wife is your today's mother? Yesterday's wife is today's mother. In the last birth she was your wife, in this birth your mother. How would you feel it? It is all right, you Westerners may take it a little lightly, you see, but the Easterners and especially the Indians, they will like to kill the man who has made such a statement. And Kabilji did it in a very cryptic way. And that is also in a poem. It may be twisted like this and like that, you see. A man can explain away the thing, you see, and escape if it stands to any danger. So these are the secrets. How could they ever be revealed? And man, you see, is such an inquisitive mind. We call it, in Persian, we call it Fuzul. He wants, he's so curious. He wants to know every bit of a thing. But he is not prepared to know everything. To know everything, one has to suffer. He is not prepared. He wants to become an armchair spiritualist. Read the books, sit here and get everything. That he can't get. It's very difficult for him. Yes, God.
That's what I say, the true lover.
You see, when we are talking from our point of view, we should not always mix, remember these things. When a man talks, he must really be consistent from where he is talking. If I make a statement standing at the bottom of the Himalayas, another statement, just jump over, sit on the top of a mountain and shout out and make another statement. We cannot create a confusion like this. If we are talking from our point of view, let us confine ourselves to this, and then when we in the midst of that, we say it is all Baba's blessing. But in the final analysis, Baba does not put his mind into every details of our life. But we are used to say this. Baba has done it. So somebody else, you say, very intellectual man, gets confused. What does Baba do? Baba has no other work to see that this man gets one or two motions in a day, every day regularly. So Baba has done this. Baba has kept my health. Is it clear? You understand it or no? No, kindly ask questions. I would come out and say, he has not understand a thing, Baba has done it.
if you have some karma and you're loving God, can your karma be changed through grace, and that way you could say that Baba has done it?
Baba has the power and authority to do anything and everything, but the point is whether he does it, whether he thinks it right to do. He does not do a thing by anybody coming and asking anything from him. He does it when he finds it most suitable, he does it. And he does it in response to the intense love that a Baba lover may have for him, and when he longs for a certain thing with that intensity, then he responds.
And so he does the best thing for the person in illusion.
For his final benefit.
In illusion, yeah.
If in illusion, if an immediate gain is to be given, even longed for by his lover, he would not at once give him if it becomes a hindrance in the final benefit he wants to give. Mm-hmm. Is it clear or not?
It's clear.
Yes.
Can you tell us some more about when you knew Baba as Mirwan?
Nice to you.
Can you tell us any more about when you knew Baba as Mirwan in the days of Upasani and all that stuff?
Baba is what? I thought this was sugar. What is it you said?
Can you tell us more about when you knew Baba as Mirwan? You know, when Baba was not yet Mehra Baba, just some of the early stuff.
All love and nothing else. I did not get many occasions to sit before him and talk. Because just a little time after I met, when he was called Mirwan, then he... Some people, they called him Meher Baba. It was just a little time after I met him that he was called Meher Baba.
Well, was he finished off by Upasani when you met him as Mirwan? Or was he still in the 7-year state?
I think he was there for a while. It was the last days of his 7-year period. Okay.
Hari?
Yes?
You told me up in New York an interesting thing about Baba's relationship with Upasani. You know how Baba would wake him up at 3 in the morning.
Yes,
yes. One thing that
would
be interesting.
You see, Baba would wake... Upasani Maharaj would wake up Baba early morning at 3 o'clock, and both would go to his hut, his dwelling place, Upasani Maharaj's dwelling place. And Baba used to sleep at a distance from him. And then both used to sit together and exchange their experiences. And Baba once explained me that the experiences Upasani Maharaj had were of a short range, big in size, the objects were small in number, big in size, and distance short. In the case of Baba, the distance was long, many objects at a time, but small in size. Every object looks small in size. That is the way you look through a binocular, you always see that, you see. So that was the one point.
Is that the difference between the avatar and the perfect master?
Huh?
Would that be the difference between the avatar and the perfect
that
master? That
will be very speculative on my part, you know.
Yeah.
Very speculative.
I appreciate if you could tell us more about that.
You can say, what is this after all? Is it in the final analysis, it is not even the seeing, but it is the becoming that is the reality. Mm-hmm. You see, Baba explains three types of knowledge. One is an intellectual knowledge, another is the knowledge through sight, and the third is the knowledge through identity. Intellectual knowledge is always inconclusive. You may be right, you may be wrong. Knowledge through sight is comparatively conclusive, but yet not fully conclusive, because appearances are delusive also. You run after the mirage and you try to find water, you don't get water. From a distance you see that there is water, you don't get water at all. So appearances are also delusive. So even the knowledge gotten out of sight is not final. He is not fully conclusive. And the old nil knowledge, fully conclusive, is when the subject and object become one. Knowledge gotten through identity. When one man becomes God. That is the seventh stage of consciousness. I am God state. That could only be given by the grace of the perfect master or the avatar. Nobody on his own unaided effort can ever get into that.
If a person has never heard about Baba and loves God sincerely, then they would be called a Baba lover.
Indirectly.
Then they would be following the avatar, and the avatar
indirectly. But it is something. You see, God has got two sides, personal and impersonal. Personal side has its own importance.
Well, say you love God personally because you loved Him with your personal heart, but you just didn't know His name. You know, maybe you heard about Christ, but say you just knew.
Still, there is a difference. knowing personal God as Christ and knowing personal God as Avatar Meher Baba, when he's functioning on this earth, makes a difference to me.
But here's the thing.
Because the whole work is an illusion. This is not reality. So there are changes always.
What if
degrees?
What if you were meditating and you experienced this overwhelming grace and you knew that it was from a greater being, you didn't know his name, and you opened your heart and you loved that being and you'd never heard of Baba or Christ or
Yes, Ram. When the intensity of love for God goes to such a pitch, then Meher Baba himself come walking all that distance to you and give it to you, just as in the case of Upasani Maharaj. Upasani Maharaj never believed or worshipped Sai Baba at all. It was somehow very miraculously drawn, and even when he was drawn, he wanted to get away from Sai Baba. And then he came the second or third time, and then he got it. And Sai Baba had to induce him to go stay near him, and he was not prepared to stay there at all, because there is a curtain in between.
If a man surrenders to Baba, you can, like you said, you surrender to Baba, but you don't think of Baba all the time. So in a sense, you surrender to a personal God that is nameless.
So I say, none of his worship, even to the impersonal God or the personal God, maybe personal God, Meher Baba or Christ, none of his worship goes to waste. It is all there for him. He gets the reward. But when the intensity rises so much, goes to that pitch and standard, then Meher Baba himself walks the distance and comes to him. And take this.
So any
you, have made your, is, you, have, you have made yourself deserving.
So any love for God is
No, that I wouldn't say.
Well, I mean, if it's love for God, if it's heartfelt devotion for a greater...
I will give an instance. Who is the president of the United States today?
Nixon.
You are a relative of Nixon. You are in some trouble somewhere. And there is a relative of... Who was the previous president?
Johnson.
There is another Johnson's relative. Now, both are in the same trouble. This is just an analogy I am giving. So, do you mean to say that the friend of Johnson will be get a relief earlier than the friend of Nixon?
I understand the point. Does that mean something about Baba and Christ? Is that the analogy?
Right.
But like they're both the same person.
So that again.
Same person, so far Christ consciousness goes. But the personality is different. Their physical bodies, subtle bodies, mental bodies are different. That constitute their personality is different.
Does that mean
the Christ state and the consciousness and the seat of the seat of avatarhood? That I will explain now. Steve Johnson and Nixon are both the same. They are the same so far the president who is concerned. But they are two different individuals.
At this point, when they say, when you love God...
No, I'm not going to answer if you don't give me a cigarette.
See,
always, I got so many packets of cigarettes over there, and I have them every day, forget it. I do not know why. Thank you very much. Anyway,
I've read that when you love God, God says, when I am loved by any lover, there I am, in the imagination of that lover. And my imagination is not good enough to imagine Christ's subtle body or Baba's subtle body. To me, it's just God, you know, God in a this clay form, and I don't know anything about anything. I'm just trying to love. So
yes, but you get the reward, my dear. But in spite of that, after getting your full reward, you want to have that special reward from the avatar Meher Baba, who is the current avatar, who is the avatar of the tribe, without worshipping him, without thinking of him. You want to think of Christ and have the reward from Meher Baba.
From God. It's from God.
God as represented by him. God as God is the same. But when he has to deal with illusion, okay. The same God as another aspect of the avatar, he has to deal with the universe. You see, it is all changing.
Well,
is
never
Adi, does that mean that Christ's power is no longer effective? Does that mean that Christ's power is no longer...
Baba has explained that every avatar who comes puts his power into action. Just a minute. Please do not take the film. She doesn't like it. Since I don't know. Elizabeth is objective to it.
Oh, she said not in the library.
No. She said not in the kitchen also, my dear. And she said outside if we go, you can take it. You can take any amount of tape. Let her keep her, please. You see, because she will ask me again when I go back. And I was not conscious of this film being taken. What was I saying?
I asked you whether Christ's power was not effective.
Baba said, then why do the avatar have to come over and over again? Because the power gets on being used. The power is released in illusion, and illusion has a beginning and end always. God has no beginning and no end. All this work, all this entire functioning of the creation is done in illusion. And it has a beginning. The force that was released by Baba today will gradually diminish some 100 years. It may, when the time for the avatar comes up, you see, it will be diminished. Just as in the case when Meher Baba came here, the power had almost diminished. But by the past momentum and the worship of the people, it goes on. It has its good effect. But to compare the response given with the thought of the Christ, the thought of Meher Baba and the response, you see, there is a difference between them. And he's the same avatar. Where are the two avatars? That is the point. He puts on a different coat, a different personality of a physical body, a subtle body and a mental body, to suitable, most suitable to the time and circumstances and the place where he takes birth.
Does that mean that the power
and effect? There are two different things. There is no one Christ and one Meher Baba, according to me. There is only one. So even the thought that the response comes from Christ or Meher Baba, even if you worship, now in the final analysis I will go a step further and say, all the worship that you offer to that God and to Christ eventually will have to be disposed of by the same Christ in the form of Meher Baba. You are not giving any claps for this at all.
What about when St. Francis became perfect? Supposedly, you know, Christ, I forget the name of the figure that was, but supposedly he came out of the sky with fiery wings. What was that?
I really have not read his life, and
well,
I do not know much about it.
He says there's a master somewhere up there that has the function of coming down when this is necessary. It wasn't
the
master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sufi master. What is a Sufi master? Perfect master is a master, whether he's a Sufi or whether he's a Hindu or Muslim or anybody.
There's a good example of Baba indicates that Sufis existed before the Muslims.
Yes. Sufism is a universal thing, very universal. It happens to be aligned with Muslim because the Sufism took birth in the Muslim regime and the Muslims were there. Muhammad came much later on. Sufism is a very old science of love, I should say.
Didn't Baba say that...
Please come and sit down. Why are you standing?
In answer to your question, Baba said that St. Francis of Assisi was one who loved God as he ought to be loved. This qualifies him for whatever status or state he was given.
Oh yeah, I was just wondering, you know, where the where the masters of the realization came from.
Buddy.
No, that's this
put it here a little closer, huh?
Does that mean that we have a long list of avatars? Does that mean that in time the last most one will sort of fade away?
Huh?
Will sort of fade away from being worshipped as the avatar? I mean, in history. I mean, if they keep on...
You refer to the history and find out, he will go on being worshipped. But again, when Meher Baba comes in another form, his power will be not the same, the power that he released today.
Yes, but does that mean the last most avatar that we remember...
That is important.
Is
what?
Is the one that is most potent, but the very first... diminishes in strength of worship and...
You see, first and second, there are no first and second. It is the same thing. The same avatar takes a form.
But that means there will be a diversity of groups.
I will give an analogy again. A father starts a business. He becomes a millionaire. His son is there. This is just an analogy. It should not be followed to a bitter end. So... His son, of course, he inherits all the property of the father. Maybe he does business, he squanders away, he uses it. I wouldn't say squanders away, he uses it. Don't you think by the use of that money, the money won't become less and less and less and less? He will go, if he goes on earning and adding to it, the perfect masters go on adding to it. But not in the sense that avatar eventually has got to come, God himself has got to come. And for the matter of that, as I say, this is my own personal interpretation. I may be wholly wrong, I may be wholly right. But it is the perfect masters coming in subsequent generations. They only work upon the plan laid down by the avatar during his lifetime. So everything that the avatar does is in the seed form. He sows the seeds and gets away and asks them to work out. Just as we sow the seed. And the man doesn't wait until the tree grows. It grows by itself. Yes.
Does that mean that to worship the form of any avatar before Baba is a sign of ignorance?
Yes, in the light of Baba's experience. In the light of Baba's experience.
What is that?
I would not call it an ignorance by itself. I would not call it a, because Christ was also the avatar. It is not ignorance by itself, but in the light of Baba's explanations. If we get a greater light, we have to forget the lesser light. In terms of the work that he does, not in the term of his authority and the Christ consciousness, it remains ever the same.
In a sense, it doesn't really matter as long as you have intense love for God, personally, you know.
Yes, yes. Baba says you have intense love for God. If you have the capacity, do have it. And if the intensity grows so, the avatar himself, the living avatar or the recent avatar, will have to come and give you.
What is the difference then between personal and impersonal love for God? I don't understand that, because...
You see, personal love, impersonal love is God as God in the abstract. God in the beyond.
It's a mental idea somehow.
This is an idea, God having a bearing upon illusion. God functioning for the illusion, in the illusion. And even so, Baba has so beautifully described, I remember it now. Sir, God's life in illusion is not illusion.
Wonderful. Well, here's the thing. See, if you're loving...
That idea you'll have to incorporate in your thesis, sir. And I may send you that piece you should read. It is in Baba's messages. God's life in illusion is not illusion.
If you're loving God, you know, and say... it seems to hinder your loving of God if you have to keep throwing up with the mental aspect of your mind a picture of Mayur Baba. Mm. You know, when your heart is loving, like the mind is not the function. That's not the function of mind. It's the heart. Mm. And if I'm loving God and I have to keep remembering who I'm loving, you know, as a particular individual, it seems to be a hindrance. Mm. And so, a personal love for God is just a personal love for any, just a real heartfelt devotion for the greater thing that. That's the cause of everything.
But nobody's going to come in your way with loving God in the way you like. You see, even Baba would not come out and say that you worship me when you are worshiping the God in your own way. Go on doing it.
And it's the same.
And if you, the day you find it is rather so more difficult than to worship the present avatar for the return that you want out of it, you see, then you will realize probably it would have been a shorter period for me had I worshipped directly the living avatar, the living God.
How do you worship the avatar now? Hmm. See, when you're loving God, that's the highest form of worship, it seems to me. And how do you, how do you love just...
My dear man, try to analyze your own worship. You cannot go beyond the four walls of your imagination.
All right,
that God who is abstract, you see, you cannot think of that abstract, you cannot feel him, because you have limited mediums on your hand, and the greatest medium is your love, and the second greatest medium is your imagination, not even your thoughts. Mm-hmm. That which we call inspiration, it comes like an imagination. You see, and we are bound by it. So whosoever God we may worship, you see, you are bound down by your limitations. So that God, whom you are worshipping, the abstract. Now I will give you one story. One Muslim was worshipping. They always worship the abstract God. They don't believe God in the form of a human being at all. That's why they call Muhammad as the messenger of God, and not God himself coming into the form. Howsoever, they say that God is all powerful, so if God is all powerful, God can also take a human form. That they don't concede to this this argument at all. And they say that God is always God in the abstract, you see. So this man was worshipping, he laid down his head on that member, it is called, member is stone, where they put their head there, you see, they bow down. So one saint was standing nearby. Then when that fellow finished his prayers, he says, whom the hell were you praying? You are praying to your own wife and to your own children. Because when you are worshipping God, your mind was full of those thoughts of your own family. So is it the God you are worshipping, or you the God? Unconscious. He has all the heart, he has all the love for God, and he worships God, but he cannot do it. Because this curtain of mind coming in between, there arises all the difficulty.
And so, to clear out that curtain, you have to mentally make an image of Baba? Is that what you're saying?
Hmm?
To mentally throw
yes,
up an image
latest,
of Baba?
Yes, the latest avatar. Who functions or just function and laid down all the plan for the humanity.
Oh, what if you don't have any of those images of wife and your love is so strong that it's overpowering all the harassments of your mind?
So you know? I say you will be compensated for that singular love if you have got for that God, even bound by your imagination, because you cannot love anybody without the image of your thought. try to love it, it is not possible. At the most, you will look upon that God as a huge cloud, a huge space, nothing beyond that. But that space will be bound down by your imagination. Instead of a human body, a concrete, the essence of Godhood there, if you do not want to worship it, you do not do it. You go on diluting your worship all over what?
Your expanded
imagination.
No. I don't think that's not the point. Just a second.
Yes, sir.
If you're imagining a picture of Mary Baba, that's still the compass of your imagination. It's still a finite God. It's like an idol or something,
but
although it's a truer idol than Christ, maybe.
Don't forget that even God has his own universal ego. And if you touch the universal ego as represented by Mary Baba, he gets touched by it.
Even in the imagination?
There is an element of humanity in the avatar. That's why we call him God and man at one and the same time.
That's what I didn't know then. Oh, so imagining Mary Baba is like a personal gift for Mary Baba, and he responds.
Yes, he responds naturally. He would always prefer. He is made up of all universals. And he has got universal jealousy. He has got universal humor. He has got universal love. Everything, but in the universal form. But universal jealousy does not remain. It's nothing like an individual jealousy. You see, individual jealousy is for oneself. And all the attributes of good and even bad that are there in him, in the universal form, they are for others. So they don't assume the aspect of a human jealousy or human weakness. Although Baba says, I am full of strength and weaknesses, both in the new life, he has made it very clear, my weaknesses and my strength is all there. But look at the universal form of those weaknesses and strength. It takes a different shape and has a different effect altogether.
Aurobindo Ghosh says when he's worshipping God, he loves what he calls the mother. And that's a personal form of devotion for him. And so, that's a personal thing. And that's what I was talking about. Just some unnameable upper force.
Yes.
But it's not as good as the mental image of Mayor Baba.
No.
But that seems to be an encumbrance to me. That's the only thing.
No, then you go by your own way, my dear. Nobody's going to interfere with you at all. Doesn't bother. And it's not going to bother the avatar or Mayor Baba or anybody at all. One has to go just by until the time he realizes, in the light of Baba's explanation, that if you touch the personal side of the avatar, the latest avatar, you stand to gain things much more speedily than if you were to go by your own way. Because after all, you see, the avatar does for others. He doesn't do it for himself. And he shows you the way. And you are not going to add anything. You are loving him. You are pouring your love in the ocean of his love. It's not going to be any addition to him at all, because he himself is the ocean.
I still don't understand how a love for Baba can be more pure. It seems to be it makes it less pure if it's encumbered by a mental image.
What is purity and impurity?
Purity is of the heart and impurity is of the mind. That's what my distinction is.
No, whatever it is, you see, when one goes and connects himself with the ocean, all purities and impurities get completely dissolved into his ocean. You see.
But
the question
the
of this duality, even in the final analysis, does not arise. It is only up to the time that we go to him and we merge ourselves into him.
The point I'm making is, and I'm still not satisfied with it, is if I'm loving God as my heart, and I'm doing Aurobindo's love is like loving the mother, that seems to be more pure than if I have to stop every 5 minutes and keep reminding myself that it's Baba that I'm loving. It's Baba that I'm loving, you know? Because that's a mental harassment for my heartful love. And so where's that at?
And Baba has also said that I'm your mother.
That's what I feel, you know? I feel Baba is the mother, definitely is the mother, but like, I'm loving namelessly, you know? And I realize, I think
so. That becomes, so where is the clinch?
You never know anyway, see? It's imagination anyway, you know? It's like, I'm realizing there's a greater force, a greater psychic force above me.
No, but I'm telling you, if you really realize that, you go on the way. Nobody's going to object and so what is the
question? I want to do the best thing, though. I want to do the best thing.
Then you want to go to the best. Then you should submit to the explanations given by Mayor Baba. If you really want to do the best thing.
If I ask the young gentleman to read this book,
yes.
I've read that book.
They would clarify everything.
Yes, read it.
You see, and, Baba said
we must not lose our temper when people are asking questions, you see.
But
we must see
so
that they are satisfied.
He read the book.
He's asking very intelligent questions.
I just don't understand about the mind thing. Baba said, Jesus, you know, like it's got a good point and a bad point. It's like touching the universal ego, I can see that, but like still I have to touch it with my mind and not my heart, and I can't see that. So what do I do now?
So what is the question? Where is your difficulty?
The difficulty
I do not create any difficulty for you at all. And even Baba was there now today before you, and you had asked him a question. He would not create any difficulty. I am telling you that you go the way you feel the best, and you feel that you are going to get the greatest response, and the way that is the easiest for you, follow it.
Well, I'm thinking maybe just by a little extra harassment, I can really get a greater benefit.
Maybe this and maybe that, you are in a suspense. Maybe this, maybe that, you are in a suspense. You are not very sure where you stand.
I know I want to
so
look God.
So I would like to take the advantage of your situation. You see, if you are like this and if you are like that and if you are not certain, so you have to establish yourself anywhere. Yes, one pointed. And don't miss this chance of having come here and heard something about Baba. Then you really think that it is difficult. You try to attune yourself to Meher Baba, and I think you will not. It will be so more good to you. It will be very helpful.
Baba said, before
if you are not certain, then I say you listen. Then you submit to the explanations given by Baba at all. Now you do not think about, and the period of transition in any case will be difficult always.
I'm just trying to make myself a little more. See,
a
little certainty in my mind. You know, it's like you see what I think you're saying to me is that there's some sort of technique in having the mental image of Baba where it touches the personal ego, because Baba is receptive to that. You know, that's what he's saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's like I'm just wondering. That seems to make my love a little more impure. You know, but if it doesn't, I mean, I'll do that. But I just
then make
know
yourself
why
make
it.
Yourself certain about the mother, your love for the mother. And stand upon it. But if you are not uncertain, then take the advantage of this situation and come to Meher Baba.
Well, I've come to Meher Baba.
Yes,
if you have a talk.
Yes, so the period of transition will be a little confusing to you for the time being. So you will have to stand up to it. When a man changes his body, when a man dies and has to take another body, he goes through the period of transition, he has to suffer. Because no man at the time of giving his body is really happy. He has to give up something which he looked upon as his own. You see, he had identified himself throughout his lifetime, maybe 50 years or 100 years. So, take it easy, my dear. Do not much crowd your head with many, many thoughts, because this intellectual jargon is not going to take you anywhere. You just stabilize yourself and think that Baba says, I am the mother, I am the father, I am the everything. And the concept that motherhood is really very partial. The concept that Baba has given, I am the mother, I am the father, I am the friend, everything I am. So you are going to compare only the motherhood with what Baba is very consummate, all comprehensive. You take up to it and try to build up your conviction on that, and you will not be the loser.
Let me give you a personal example that I think will address your point. What you're hung up on now is what your feelings are today, but your feelings will change, your understanding will change. I first read a statement of Meher Baba, if you say my name over and over again, I will wake up in your heart. I couldn't imagine saying his name then, you know? And I tried, and at first I forced myself. It wasn't too natural, but in time it became natural and easy to say his name.
Now I will give you an analogy. You know, the
king.
You know, in the Indian history, there was a king by name Jahangir. And there was one woman by name Mumtaz, one of the most beautiful women. And that Mumtaz was the wife of Sher Shah, who when he went on the hunting ground with one stroke, he used to kill a tiger, but just by one stroke. He was such a strong and stout man. Now, Jahangir was the king, and the Sher Shah was the only an ordinary man, and he had a most beautiful wife. This king wanted to have that wife for himself. So he had him arrested and he killed him outright. And Mumtaz was very, very much aggrieved by that. She has so much love for whom? For Sher Shah. And he was killed by the king. And then, of course, the king proposed to her. She refused. He put her in prison. For 12 years she did not respond. So she had to suffer a period of transition for 12 years. And eventually she agreed. She started loving Jahangir and became the queen of the country. And became very, very happy. So this is just an example. Period of transition is always distressing, but you have to venture it. You should be courageous to do it. If the idea absolutely of Meher Baba doesn't appeal to you, keep it aside, forget about it, and go on worshipping your mother until you find that mother had a father, or the mother had another husband, and the mother is not the image which takes in the whole universe within herself. It is something else. And then you again fall back to something. So I say, It is up to you to decide. You have got a very good chance. What is the motherhood after all? Ramakrishna Paramahansa also said motherhood is really very good. But to my mind, even the mother has got weaknesses. And the concept that Baba has given you of, I am your mother, I am your father, I am your friend, I am everything.
I have a quote from Baba here that may lend some light on this because like I've noticed the last couple of weeks, Tim, like you've had your nose in a book almost constantly, which is sort of like into the philosophy thing, which Baba sort of like talks about, you know, like it's the surface. And, well, I don't know, if this clicks something, then it does. But it's from the second volume of the Discourses. And it says, in the spiritual life, it is not necessary to have a complete map of the path in order to begin traveling. On the contrary, insistence upon having such complete knowledge may actually hinder rather than help the onward march. The deeper secrets of spiritual life are unraveled to those who take risks and who make bold experiments with it. They are not meant for the idler who seeks guarantees for every step. He who speculates from the shore about the ocean shall know only its surface, but he who would know the depths of the ocean must be willing to plunge into it. Mm. And like if you know that Bob is the avatar, you know he's the ocean.
Mm. Well, I feel I should
this reminds me. This reminds me of an Indian saying. Wherein a man comes, he says, first chamatkar and then namaskar. He comes and asks, Baba, you perform a miracle, you convince me, and then I will bow down before you. Baba says, there is no bargaining like this on the path of love at all. You see, you are not going to go. This is not a shopping center here to come over and ask for such a thing. Why the hell should I perform miracle for you? If I really take up to performing miracles, it can be for the whole world and not for a single speck of an individual like you. Why should I do it, you see? So, he says, first chamatkar and then namaskar. Namaskar means bowing down. So, as you say, a man has to take risk. Risk not gain.
Can you explain what Baba said about free will?
This free will business is an age-long question. I think to understand free will and destiny, I think we'll go on arguing, probably it will make our mind and arguments stink rather than we understand anything out of it. It is both things are there. And as I say, this plane of normal consciousness we call is full of contradictions. That is why in the explanations of Baba you may find these contradictions, but really they are not contradictions. So I say, every time I repeat the same thing, contradictions denounced by logic are embraced by love, but not without a touch of suffering. We are not prepared to suffer. We are not prepared to embrace good and bad at one and the same time. A man, an agreeable man and a disagreeable man. Because we have to suffer to embrace an agreeable man. Baba says, not only not hate anybody, but love your enemy. How much have I to stretch my hand to love an enemy? To what extent should I go? He absolutely goes out of my reach. I may not hate him, but to love him, Baba says, is not a joke. So, these contradictions, we have to stand up to these contradictions. And the contradictions really do not nullify the path that Baba has shown you, but he has, on the contrary, enlightened you more and more intellectually by showing you the contradictions. Because eventually, in the ocean of love, these contradictions all become one. No difference remains between them at all. Just as all radia meet at a center, they differ. And our intellectuality, our logic, is frightened of contradictions. When I say this thing is here, and in the same breath I say it is not there, finished. A logician comes to the end of his thinking. He can't think more. But Baba says this is the beginning of spirituality. So where is the beginning and where is the end?
I only belong to Zoroastrian religion by birth.
I love Zoroaster. I wanted to stay in my religion. I did not love any religion at all. And to begin with, intellectually, I was a booby. A veritable booby. A very shy man. A few times that Baba asked me, in an audience of 10 persons, to just get up and say a few words, I used to shiver in my shoes.
Also, I'm in the middle of the Godhead right now, and there are references to a lot of...
You have advanced with so much, huh? You are in the middle of the Godhead.
But there's reference to two or three different Adis, and I was wondering, who was Adi Senior?
I'm Adi Senior, and Adi Junior is Baba's younger brother. He's in London.
Thank you.
Problem solved?
Yes.
Could you say something about what it was like to be with Baba in the time after the new life and the Mananash period and the complicated free life and full free
you
life?
You see, I tell you, the inception of this new life for me was an enigma. And the course of the new life was a torture for me. It was a physical labor and a mental torture. And we had to go through because Baba wanted it. And a life with Baba is not always easy. We definitely know. It is the most difficult life. People from a distance always say, you are very fortunate. Fortunate are we. But the fortune doesn't go without your suffering. It goes. The more fortunate you are with Baba, the more you have to suffer. And so, this new life Baba gave, at least I'm speaking for myself so much. Apart from the physical labor, which I discounted, I didn't much bother about, the mental torture that I had at that time was enormous. You would not believe, sometimes I wanted to just fly and go away and leave everything. Mayor Baba, God, don't want anybody else. And eventually I saw that was the training, that the training was next to the discipline that I had from Meher Baba at the time of Manjil Emim in 1932. The new life was there in 1949, and the first disciplinary life I underwent was in 1922. So, people get frightened of the mental torture. And what was the torture? It was a very simple thing. You see, beloved Baba, the treatment that he used to give me before differed so much from the treatment that he gave in the new life. Supposing he used to embrace me in the old life and started giving me kicks in the new life, how would you feel? Yeah, I'm a human being after all. Well, I know that his kick and a kiss both are blessings. But you don't expect me to laugh when I get the kick, my dear. The reaction has to be there. Although I may analyze the intention and I may definitely know that this is also a grace of Baba. But it all remains for me to find out how much I can sustain it, how much I can bear it. So the whole new life, you see, as such, as long as I was there. And then, of course, he released me after 4 months, I came back to my office. And then looking back over the things again, I find that it has been most helpful. See, reading a spiritual literature given by Baba is a pleasure and a joy. But putting the same thing into practice is a suffering. So probably all the reading that Baba makes us do in the beginning to prepare us with all joy to bear up with the suffering that is going to come on later. Dr. Gani, a very wise man amongst the Mandali, an old friend of Baba and also a disciple, he was a school friend of Baba. He and I both were walking during our new lifetime. And Dr. Gani says, he was an older man than me, much older. And he said, look here, Adi, what is this? I do not know this devilish treatment we are getting at the hand of this avatar. And how much... And all the time we read the discourses and we got the pleasure out of it. And now when the time comes, you see, we are cracking under the weight of this suffering. See, we should just exchange our notes with each other. And both of us should agree on this. So it is like this. One Indian poet says, how beautifully well in two lines he says. He says, Asaniyo mein rahkar mushkil ko dhoondte hain. You want to surround yourself or get surrounded by a very easy life.
Yeah.
And you want the most difficult thing in the life. How can these two things come together?
I was identifying very much with what Tim was saying.
Please write down your name and full address, because I would like to recollect all the talk that we had. If you don't mind, full name and address, and I will then later.
When the person who was writing down his name and address was talking, I know his name. I was identifying very much, and I was responding very much emotionally, because I was frustrated that you seem to insist that a mental standpoint or an image of Baba in physical form was very much of a main objective in loving God, in the process of loving God. And Tim was seeming to express this thing in his heart which overcame him. And I kept on remembering what I was reading yesterday in Baba's discourses about God realization. And if I can just read it here, about how consciousness doesn't...
To arrive at true self-knowledge is to arrive at God realization. God realization is a unique state of consciousness. It is different from all other states of consciousness because all other states of consciousness are experienced through the medium of the individual mind, whereas the state of God consciousness is in no way dependent upon the individual mind or any other medium. A medium is necessary for knowing something other than one's own self. For knowing one's own self, no medium is necessary. In fact, the association of consciousness with the mind is definitely a hindrance rather than a help for the attainment of realization. Baba says that he's true self in everyone, or the real self in everybody. And so many times I feel overpowered with just the feeling of Baba, not so much a mental image conjured up. And I was distressed when you were insisting on the mental image.
To have a mental image of Baba is what you need. Let your heart go, right? But you can't tell me that your mind is completely ceased. That's why I need a mental image.
Yeah,
occupy your mind with the mental image of Baba. Keep your heart, don't have to say the words, but you...
No, but when did I actually say that the forming of the image is better than the feeling through the heart or the love through the heart?
You didn't, but you said the two things are important. Your heart feelings and the use of the imagination can be very helpful to you.
Yes.
You did not say anything.
No, but I did not say that one supersedes the other or vice versa.
Now, the use of imagination occupied means writing poetry to God. The use of the imagination means painting pictures of God. Otherwise, we're stuck. We'll have to go into nunneries, and we thought didn't want
to. That's exactly what I'm saying. We
activate the spirit, so you use the imagination.
Right, but you keep that imagination on Baba.
On Baba.
Image.
He said it. If you can make your whole soul resound with my name, then he will be able to respond. But if your mind is never still, it's always moving. And what Baba says is try to make it move around me, and he will take care of it. Don't worry about it, but just think of me. So your mind is always revolving. Ooh. He gets rid of all the other stuff.
And your whole being focuses on Baba. It's not just the mind thing. It's every aspect that is filled with Baba.
Yes, yes, yes. But in some persons, the mind is a very prominent thing, more than his heart. And in others, the heart is prominent than the mind is. And I don't remember having said that it is absolutely necessary to form the image and be inattentive to the love in your heart or your feelings in your heart I did not say that it is. But the mind needs something definitely. The other day I even said that the mind is the mind of a man is like a barking dog sometimes. So you have to give a few crumbs and silence him with something. So the arguments may not be useful, but it is useful in the sense negatively that the mind at least gets satisfied and keeps quiet and does not disturb the heart in its pursuit for God or for Meher Baba.
And is the final point about this is that when the mind is occupied with Meher Baba, it's occupied with the incarnate universal ego of the current avatar, and that's the most powerful function of the mind in this age.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Also, doesn't Baba really make, through the mind, isn't Baba making his appeal to the heart? Isn't Baba appealing to the heart
Yes, it can be so.
He's really trying to open the heart center, right?
It is not the same in everybody. So to some he may directly appeal to the heart, to some he may appear through the mind, to some he may appear to the medium, to some he may appear to some even external things we do not know. A man comes to a beautiful scenery and is inspired about Meher Baba. So that becomes the cause. In the case of one saint, Ramana Maharishi, he was inspired by that hill. The hill just standing before his ashram has taken such a such great importance because this man says that he got God realization on the hill. I do not know. And that is his experience. So, that may be the cause through which the master, or the perfect master, has inspired him. So, the perfect master, for the matter of that avatar, you see, can take any means and medium on a hand and utilize it for a purpose. Nothing can come in the way. It may be the lowest of the low thing, the highest of the high thing. I have heard Baba once said that a man got realized in his dream when he was sleeping. Yes, there are cases like this. So where is the dream and where is God realization?
Baba emphasized...
what is it?
He said that's really to wake up in a dream.
Huh?
That's really awakening from a dream.
Yes.
full of sense.
No, but somebody will interpret like this, that certain perfect master got realization in a dream. You go on sleeping all your life so that you will get a better chance of God realization. See, such foolish inferences. You see, once what happened, actually, I told you the other day also, I may repeat it, I like to repeat it here. You see, a man, I do not want to name him, a man, you see, he heard once Baba give an explanation about yoga. There is certain type of yoga which is very effective in the sense that man should do everything by the contrary. If he feels hungry, he should starve. If he feels like going to the toilet, he keep on sitting in a chair. You see, do everything against your vision, against your inclination. So, Baba had declared that I am in a very deep seclusion, nobody should write me a letter. So, he tries to follow a certain example. He stopped writing. So such inferences, if a man goes on drawing, then I think it won't take anywhere the questioner or the answer. It will be a confusion, really.
Excuse me. The idea of doing opposite to your false self's desires, it didn't seem to me to be what Baba writes about, because he says to get your heart to begin to lead your actions. And if something stays with you as very important, you constantly feel this thing must be done, you act on it, so that you begin to get the heart leading.
That's what I was impressing upon him, you see. Sometime when a question of some type of yoga arose, and Baba had explained that there is a type of yoga which people practice. That doesn't mean that it is his own instructions or his orders or his own explanations.
Just because Baba mentioned
that, that's why he taken it up. Because probably he found it most suitable for him at that time.
Baba emphasized subservient ego. When you noted that I'm sitting here, I say I'm sitting here. Instead you say Baba is sitting here. Or if I'm eating, you say Baba is eating. He seemed to emphasize that. And I think it has a lot to do with the trouble of the mind, you know.
I don't think Baba literally says every time you sit, you feel that Baba is sitting. This thing should come spontaneously and naturally. You can't go on, you see. Baba also said, do not coerce your mind. No. You cannot coerce your mind. You cannot press your mind down. maybe it may jump up and do something very worse to you. Diametrically opposite. So you should not coerce the mind. You should try to deal very delicately with the mind and take the mind in its moods. In the discourses of meditation, Baba has said that coercion is not permitted. Even for the matter of meditation, who likes to do meditation and take up meditation, coercion should not be done.
No coercion.
If you can pleasantly do it, then it remains. It doesn't amount to a coercion. If you get the joy in doing it, by all means, do it.
When is the idea of discipline coming into that? Not necessarily.
What?
When is the idea of discipline?
Joyful discipline, discipline balanced with love, a joyful discipline, not a coerced or forced. A forced discipline is like the man in the army who has to parade at the force of the authority.
Joyful discipline.
You see, while getting through the discipline, one has to bear up with so many things. But it is all the intention with which. Now, discipline with Baba was not always joyful in the literal sense. But we were doing it for Baba. The purpose was joyful, the purpose was high. It was not a coercion. It was not a coercion. You wanted it. Coercion is a thing, if you do not want it, you have to do it. I do not want to go to Vietnam War, and then you got to do it. You see, that is coercion.
And I'm talking about the mind in terms of discipline. This also takes in account the word and the deed. In other words, these thoughts will come into your mind, and the spontaneous thoughts of Baba is like coercion. But there is a discipline of keeping desires and wants in the mind, and so the discipline is let the mind do what it will, but don't put it into word or in action. Right. That's a discipline of Baba.
Yes, that is quite true. And thoughts, let the thoughts automatically come and go. You do not harbor those thoughts. You do not go on deliberately repeating those thoughts within yourself, and never put those thoughts into action.
There's a cute quote I remember which I said, let my name be a net to surround you so that thoughts like mosquitoes can buzz around you, but they can't bite you.
Can't bite you, right? Yes. Very nice.
When I meant Baba sitting here, I meant it's a joyful thing to be doing. Yes, yes. I didn't mean it's just a.
So that is all. Anything done joyfully, yes, yes, it's all permitted.
Because you, as Baba once said, if you really understand what he is, you won't do certain things which you would naturally do.
I used to go through. I used to have a lot of trouble because I read. I read in the God Man when I first came to Baba that at the Manzil he made you all take cold water baths. He made you take cold water baths.
Yes.
And when I started trying to take cold showers.
Why don't you start taking cold showers in the midwinter? Yeah. That will be most helpful to you.
That's what I tried to do, but it was too cold.
But if you want to become disembodied, earlier than what is designed by God for you, then you will get it. But my dear man, he was taking cold bath in a place like Bombay, which is so humid, which is so warm. You forgot to ask about the surroundings. You only caught up with the cold bath. You see, that is how a man in search of a forest, for the sake of a true tree, he loses the whole forest.
Hari, a question. I just make a statement. You comment, okay? I will make a statement, and maybe you will comment on it.
Yes.
That the only difference for us between before Baba dropped his body and now is that before Baba dropped his body, he was in seclusion, and and now he is not. He's more accessible to us.
That's very good. That's the way so many feel about it. And probably because he was to drop his body, give up his body suddenly, without pre-intimating about it to anyone, this may be one of the reasons of his seclusion, to give you a training to just not feel very much after he drops his body, because in seclusion also we could not easily see Baba. It was very difficult to see. So probably that was the training he gave you, to remain aloof.
But isn't it so that we can do the same kind of inward communication with Baba now that we could?
Definitely so. On the other hand, I say he has given you an occasion to find Baba in your heart more when he's not in the body than when he was in the body.
Could you speak to us about what it was like to be with Baba during the last years when he was completing his work?
For me, the last 5 or 7 years, it was not a regular trial, as I would say, like the new life, but it was somewhat a trial for me, because Baba used to be in seclusion. I could not go as often as I could, although I was allowed to go to him at any time for any work pertaining to Baba or Mehrazad. But every time that I went, I did not disturb him unless he on his own called me inside and asked me to see him. So, and then many, many difficulties were there in Baba's work. All Mandali was staying together, different views, different thoughts, correspondence, Baba work and all that. And naturally Baba is always the deciding factor, you see. And everything was so much eased out. But with the small opportunities of seeing him, his seclusion made a little difficult for me. By the very existence of the distance, I had to go every time 9 miles, and life in India is not easy. It's an expensive life in the sense the gasoline is so expensive, to keep a car is so expensive, repairs are so expensive. We can't afford to go on a cycle all those 9 miles and come back and waste half of a day or the full day for the matter of one errand or one work, you see. So difficulties on all sides. It's not only the difficulty of seeing or not seeing Baba. There were many. And so many things that had to be managed in the office besides the correspondence, all the things that Mehrazad needed, all their requirements, the knick-knacks of every Mandali, the convenience of them. And there was the post office, the bank, all this put together. I was very joyful the way I should be kept occupied, but not without the difficulties, you see. And Baba is there in everything. Once a fellow came to my office, he says, "You always seem to be doing this work. And do you at any time remember Baba?" I said, "I hardly remember Baba, the way you want me to remember." So he said, "How is it?" I said, "You have a wife or a mother?" He said, "Yes." "So you love her?" "Yes, love very much. I love my mother very much." "Do you have necessary to remember her every moment that you do anything else?" "No, no, I do not do it." "Do you feel that your love is lessened by not remembering her the way you want?" "No, no, not at all. That is the in work I feel Baba. Every work that I do, every movement that I make, is Baba, Baba, nothing else but Baba. Where is any other interest in life? None at all. From morning till evening, no recreation, no picnic, no outing. If ever there is an outing, it is to the printing press. If there is an outing somewhere at a distance, it is for Baba's work. Every moment is for Baba's work, and there is a joy in it. But being so much attached to him personally, to keep aloof from him is not very easy. I think, you see, when I joined Baba in 1922 and later on I was with him so much, it took him almost 6 years to keep me aloof. A little time here, a little time there, it went on and on. And every time I was wanting to go and stay near him, every time I was wanting to go, and every time he was contriving in such a manner that I live away from him. You see. But it was a suffering indeed, when you are so much attached personally to him. But when I look back and I see that it was really, again I say, a blessing in disguise. Because if he had not done that, probably I would not have been in a position to work after Baba gave up his body. Very, very difficult for me to work. Who knows? A man, you see, in a fit of sorrow, may do anything at all. Because we never cease to be human beings. And Baba always wants us to remain human beings, as I say, because Baba takes us. If there is a spirituality and Baba is the avatar, and if he has to in mind to give us God realization, and then if he is said to advance us spiritually, then it only means that he does it behind the curtain. He does not make a fuss about anything else. That is his way of doing it. And he has maintained it right from the beginning till the very end. And he dropped his body also behind the curtain. He never informed anybody about it. And we least anticipated that he would give up his body so soon as that. Because always he gave an impression that he was going to live for 90 years.
He always had you working towards the next day, didn't he? You were always making plans for the next day.
Yes, yes.
Could you tell us about where you were and what happened to you on the day he dropped his body?
I was there right near him, but I went just a minute later. Probably he wanted me that way to go. Dr. Ginde, a neurosurgeon, a well-known neurosurgeon, and Baba's a great Baba lover. He had come to America also once or twice, you see. There are so many other Baba lovers who know him. Dr. Kenmore know him. He had been to different centers also and say, gave a few talks about Baba. So this man was off and on called to see Baba. But latterly, Baba never allowed him to go to him at all. And every time he kept on asking me and sending me a phone distant call 200 miles away from Bombay to Ahmednagar. And he says, I would like to come and see Baba. But I don't want to come and see Baba to give him any sort of a treatment as a doctor. Because Baba's health is beyond me. I really do not know what actually Baba suffers from. And I do not think, having tried so many times, that I can be of any help to him medically. But the only thing you call me for is to take his darshana, to bow down before him. So at that time, a few days before he dropped his body, Baba did not allow him to come at all. I sent him a phone, do not come, but you come when you are asked to come. This is Baba's message. Oh, then he used to say, I long to come so much and all that, you see. He's such a busy man with all his operations, you see, brain operations. He's an expert. The moment a message goes to him, he immediately gives up all his work. You see, Baba always tell him that you adjust your work and come over. Now, a few days in advance, he was asked to adjust his work and come over. So, Baba's order was that he had to adjust his other operations, you see, which was given an appointment for. So, in trying to adjust that, of course, 2 or 3 days passed. And then Baba again made me send a phone. What is it? We are expecting. Why don't you come? But he says, look here, Adi, Baba has asked me to adjust the other things, otherwise Baba does not like me to just to suddenly snatch myself away from my work in Bombay and go over to Ahmednagar. So, now naturally Baba definitely know that the next day or the third day that he was going to drop his body. Then he suddenly sent for me and sent a phone, ask him to come immediately. Then there was some delay. There was a message he was expected to give at Pune to somebody, to see somebody and give a message. That really was not important. But because he was asked to do, he was delayed at Pune, he came late. And then another message came from Mehrazad, where is Dr. Ginde, why doesn't he come? Dr. Gaber asked me to bring a barrel of oxygen with me and another doctor. So, there is an Evangeline Booth Hospital. The doctor there is, name is Mr. Breesman. He's an Australian. He's a very nice man. He had Baba's darshan a few times. He had been to Mehrazad a few times. He's a very nice and a very helpful man to us all, Baba Mandali. So, I immediately sent for him. He brought the oxygen with him in his car, and he was right in the near my house, present. And then when Ginde arrived at my house, and Dr. Ginde, you see, somehow the moment he arrived, he started getting some heart palpitation. He went to the toilet, he passed one motion and he actually got a mild heart attack there. This is Dr. Ginde. He did not tell me anything about it. He came out with a very haggard face. I said, "Doctor, what is wrong with you?" "Nothing is wrong. You do not bother. Let us go to Baba." I said, "Wait for a while. Take a cup of tea or milk." No, I can't wait here for a single second. You must fly over to Baba." And at that time, you see, Baba's condition was worsening, you see. Gavir was there, Eraj was there. Baba's condition went on worsening so much that Eraj started giving artificial respiration through his mouth. But how much artificial respiration could you ever give? And Dr. Gavir was waiting for that oxygen cylinder that I was to carry. And then we immediately ran, Dr. Ginde, myself and Dr. Brisman, all three of us in three individual cars. We speeded up there, and just before we arrived, Baba had already passed away. And there was an uproar, weeping and wailing, and Mera sitting there right in front, you see. She was so stunned. Everybody was weeping, but not a drop of tear I could see in the eyes of Mera. She was absolutely stunned like this, looking at Baba. So, I could not, you see, control myself. I went out, of course, shed all the tears there, came back inside. And then I started shouting aloud. I said, "You must not weep, you must not make noise." Gavir started weeping, Naja started loudly weeping and all that. I said, "Baba gone, Baba gone, Baba." And then we asked Dr. Ginde, we asked Dr. Brisman, we started pushing him like this, "Say, doctor, can't you do anything? Can't you do anything? Can't you..." "What can you do?" Doctor says, Dr. Ginde says, "What can I do beyond the will of Baba?" And there was such a wailing and weeping for a time. We were all out of our minds and out of our wits, you see. We do not know. The whole life story with Baba, you see, came before our mind's eye like this. Like a whole film. Then we see, we all collected ourselves, and then Francis Brabazon was there, Eraj was there, I was there, Nariman was there, Gavir was there, Mani was there, all sit together, drafted that telegram to be sent over to all places, you see.
Oh, Adi, this telegram, tell us about sitting down to make this telegram, because this has become the telegram. Mahabhava has dropped his body to live in the hearts of his lovers, eternally in the hearts of his lovers. It has become our banner. So tell us about sitting down to make the telegram.
You see, we all sit down together, we sat down together to draft a telegram. Now, what should be the contents of the telegram so that it may be most suitable to the occasion. Now one thought this way, another thought this way, all this, all put together, then we ask Francis Brabazon to draft it, you see. So that everybody goes through, gives his suggestion, certain changes are made, and then eventually the final is decided. So this was the shape and form that eventually all minds, the heads coming together, we decided upon this text of a telegram to be sent to.
Had Baba ever said anything? Yes, he had said things like that before. Baba had this was Baba's.
For everything, Baba need not say anything. Your life with Baba says so many things, you see. So many things are obvious and evident, you see. We know. And Eraj asked me to immediately go to the office. All said, "You should not stick here now. You go to the office, start sending telegram. There are press people, there are Baba lovers all over the world." And I really could not accompany Baba's body from Mehrazad to Mehrabad. The moment I went to my office, you see, I just felt all darkness in my office for the moment. I could not work, I could not think. I was also so stunned as if. But we had to work, you see. So I remember the 7 years past, if Baba had still drawn me closer, I would have become useless and a helpless man to do any work, even to send a cable, I tell you honestly. I may have given up everything, gone away. Who knows the trend of the mind? With all the philosophy, all the discourses, but when one has to put into action, it takes a different shape. The joy goes, the suffering comes. And both are necessary. So, I went and stuck to my chair for full 2 days. 48 hours I could not. I used to take my food there, my drink, everything, only for the toilet I went. and telegrams and phone calls from all over the world, from Canada, from United States, from Ceylon, from Delhi, from Nagpur, from Kanpur, from Pakistan, from Iran. How to reply? You see, at night, I would just rest my head for 5 minutes like this, again a phone call. 10 minutes, again a phone call. How to reply, how many to reply, do not know. And Baba really gave the strength to do all that, you see. And the others were also so busy. You see, we sent an ambulance, and Baba's body was there. Dr. Breesman sent his own ambulance and the beautiful stretcher also. He permitted the stretcher to be kept at Mehrabad. It is kept there on the hill. You may have seen it in that small cabin. It belonged to the hospital and he did not charge anything. Also, we were prepared to pay him. And this Dr. Breesman also, he may not believe Baba is the avatar at all. But in his own way, he liked and loved Baba so much, and he also felt very sorry. And he showed it actually when he was there near Baba's body. And then Baba's body was lifted up and brought down on the floor in a nice covering and placed over there for some time. And then it was removed to Mehrabad. And it was very late in the evening I could go there to Mehrabad. And we had to work ourselves, place ourselves with a different background, in a different surrounding altogether, you see. Now the Baba is physically not there. And all our life, imagine, 45 years of life suddenly changed. So we have to adjust and reconcile ourselves. And most of all, Mera, money, see, being so near Baba all the time, money every moment near, Dr. Gawar so near for Baba's health, always near. You see, the very mention of Baba's name now in front of Mera, she weeps, in front of Gawar, she weeps, in front of money, at least money is very balanced, you see. She may not show her tears, but within she may feel more. So, it has been a great event. Even I feel that this event has been greater in our life than the event when we joined Baba. And all the other, so many events in between. So, as Baba said that when God got the urge and he got the whim and asked himself a question and he finally answered. The question was, who am I? And the answer was, I am God. You see. So in the case of Baba, when we joined him, he says he was God. But when he passed away also, he said he was God. The question and answer both are the same in this case. And all the Mehrabad women and men and went and stayed there on the top of the hill for 2-3 days at a stretch. No bath, no food, very scanty food. One tried to look after another. Some outside Baba lovers came, they tried to look after the mandali. And Kaka Bharia was the man. He sat there for 2 days near the tomb, in front of the tomb. He would not move from there. One Indian poet says that extreme grief becomes the remedy of grief. It becomes his own remedy. Extreme. Anything is extreme is all one. Extreme light and extreme darkness, both are one. When there is extreme light, you get dazed, you can't see anything. When there is darkness, you can't see anything.
What was the reaction of Muhammad when
Baba got his body? Action of Muhammad was not normal in the sense that your and mine, Baba Mandali, the reaction was there. Cannot do me like that. He was just as the same, only saying that Baba has gone, Baba will come, Baba has gone. Laughing, weeping, whatever he was no change.
You were not saying that he was grieved in the same
way. No. He was not grieved in the same.
There's a painting of the death of Buddha, in which you have wrote of the mandali, first brothers.
These apostles, yes.
That they are close and they're all leaping around the body of Buddha. And then behind you have the saints, and the saints are all smiling.
Saints.
Bodhisattvas.
Bodhisattvas.
Men who are approaching Buddha status.
Oh, what is a bodhisattva? Do you know?
Huh?
What is a bodhisattva in the spiritual hierarchy?
Buddha?
No, a bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva. Is the bodhisattva is the truth. Sattva means truth.
Like a perfect master?
The secret.
Yes,
the same.
He doesn't like cool. That's what he's like.
Thank you.
Do you like more tea, Adi?
No, thanks.
Last night I had a dream, which is insignificant. A dream. People were asking at the counter for cigarettes, and they just
get the mother and child.
It's
I didn't wait. This is a question. Is it so that Muhammad's tomb could not be visited during the 7 days?
That is absolutely true. Because it had come out in the papers, and we verified it.
Good.
From so many persons, it is absolute. For all throughout the period of the life of that tomb over there, on no occasion it was cut off by water. For full 7 days that Baba's face was kept exposed there at Mehrabad.
Muhammad's tomb.
Muhammad's tomb. Muhammad Paghambar. And it is such a heavy rainfall, and the tomb was all surrounded by water, that for 7 days, you see, the devotees could not go near the tomb. It's a fact. Absolute truth.
Has that ever happened before?
Never.
How about
Joseph? It cannot be the same. No. It cannot be the same everywhere. God's ways are unfathomable. If a man does not receive the truth through the intellect, then Baba makes the tree speak. He comes and appears on the tree and says, yeah. He proves it. The tree accepts me, but you as a human being with so-called bright and brilliant intellect, you do not accept. When there was an eclipse of the sun and the moon, and the moon says, here you sun, such a beautiful shining sun, and I am a reflected glory, my glory is reflected. I am your reflection. You do not recognize me throughout a period of many years. Now this is my turn. I come in between you and the earth and assert my existence. And he salutes him and says, here I am. You will have to pay that little tiny bit of a respect for me now. At least recognize my existence. That I am, being so small, has cut off your light to go to the earth. Plunge the earth in the darkness. Maybe 2 minutes. Here I am.
Ali, how did you feel about the tree?
It was so much enchanting to me because the Mehrabadians saw that in the month of June, probably we did not know, I did not know. One day I happened to go to Mehrazad and Mani and others tell me, have you seen this? I said, no, please show it to me. Mehra was the first one to see. It is at the back of Mehra's room. She saw it from the window. And then I went to her room and I saw, what a beautiful thing. You must not keep this secret. Let everybody know in the world. Then they started taking pictures.
Is that a special kind of tree?
Yes, it's a very sacred tree in the Hindu mythology. I was more concerned with Baba's image in the tree than the tree itself.
And did it look like Baba to you immediately?
Immediately, in a flash.
You didn't have to look for it.
No, it was just that the moment they took me, I said, this will be made known to all.
Is it still there?
Still there, yes. But now one streak has come in, you see, like this. It may not remain there. In a natural way, it may disappear even. But it has there. It has asserted itself. It has affirmed its existence. You see, during the lifetime of Baba, our concentration was on his body. So, Baba's humanity and Baba's divinity. His humanity was his body. His divinity was with him. So since we focused on his humanity, the divinity was included, but in the latent form. It was there within. So when Baba dropped his body, we have to see to his divinity now. That is all over. Manifested. Probably his divinity was unmanifest during his lifetime, according to me. Not that it was not there all the time. It is there. It undergoes no change excepting that the body is discarded, given up. But for our consciousness, for our feeling, this is the greater time for us to know about his divinity all over. But all over we can't see because we have no eyes to see. We don't have the inner sight to see. So Baba says, I will manifest you in your heart. Look into your heart. So one Indian poet says, the image of my beloved is embedded in my heart. The moment I want to look at him, I just straighten my head like this and it is there. He says, Dil ke aayine mein hai tasveer yaar, jab zara gardan jhuka li dekh li. In the mirror of my heart is embedded the image of my beloved. The moment I want to look at him, I just have to tilt my head like this. Very beautifully and poetically expressed by him. It may be time for you all to hear. I have not heard Baba. Maybe he has said something about him to others. I don't know.